All right, guys, we are live. Episode 11 of the Contractor Compass podcast. Today, we've got Tom back this week, and we are right in his ballpark. We're going to be talking about the business case, just uses for financing and lease-to-own agreements on HVAC equipment. You can deliver this across the board to anything you can finance as a service, but we're going to be talking about HVAC systems today. Tom's got a sign-up, says people buy payments. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this is my avenue. I just know it's a great tool for our guys that we're doing marketing for, right? When they come in with poor credit scores and just options to buy, and guys that don't offer it, I'm going to tell you're an idiot, right?
Yep.
100%. So, Tom, we're going to let you take the lead on this one, and then we're going to jump in. The goal here is to get Tom to talk today more than the rest of us.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah, right. So Tom, I don't care where you start out, just on it, whether it, you know, why it's important or who they should go with or, you know, what they should look for, what stage they should add finance. I'll let you take it.
Well, I'll start with a little story. I had my own lease-to-own company where I dealt with furniture stores. Ashley Furniture Home Store was the largest dealer that I had. And what I was, it was basically a credit challenge option for them. They would go into Ashley Furniture Home Store for the 5-year no interest President's Day sale. And then due to their credit score, they'd get turned down.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the guy's going, the store manager says, "I'm sorry, Colton, you didn't get approved today." It's like, "My wife's over there on the couch picking out curtains mentally in her head. I've got to have a sofa today." It's like, "Okay, well, if you got a job, a credit card, so on and so forth, we can, we have this option for you." So I came to the HVAC space and plumbing space about 6 years ago or so. And I start meeting with contractors, and I'm finding 25 or 30% of the contractors didn't even offer financing. And I was just blown away because, you know, a sofa is not necessarily an unexpected purchase, right? You're right. Planning on it. The wife may be, you know, maybe an unexpected purchase for the husband, but it's not for the wife.
You got that right.
So in an HVAC situation, I would talk to these contractors that didn't offer financing. It was like, how can you not offer financing on an unexpected purchase, especially on the lower income, lower FICO score bandwidth? They don't have $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 in their checking account that they can stroke your check.
Yeah.
So anyway, as we move forward, I came to Air Around the Clock about 3 years ago as a director of finance. And at that time, they had Wells and Synchrony, which are a prime lender, right? So at the time, and during that period of time, those primes would buy down into the 650 range FICO score wise. FICO ranges from 850 to 300.
Yep.
And so when I got there, they did very little bit of a company called Genesis, which has changed its name now. And then I brought them a company called O'Connor. So they at the end of the day, I started finding lenders that would buy down into the lower FICO score. Now, usually when you buy down lower in the FICO score, there's going to be many of that second look lender, as I say, are going to charge a lender fee, as they call it. So yeah. In other words, the lower the score, but then there's lease to own below that, which lease to own is a great option. That really came into play about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, on the scene. So that's basically a lease to own where the contractor is selling an $8,000 package unit or whatever the case may be, is the lease to own company is actually buying that from the contractor. So that's their system that's going into Jane Doe's house. And then they own that system until the last payment's made. The payments can be pricey, right? Because everything is risk versus reward in a lender stack. So, you know, we've got the primes, what I call, we've got the second looks that are, as you go down in the FICO score, the APR goes up and the term usually goes down.
Yeah. So then, what you're talking about right now, Tom, is you're talking about, you got your prime lenders, your subprime lenders, and your lease to own.
Yep.
And then they have what's called a waterfall program, right? So if you can help people understand a little bit about, because I know you're probably going to be throwing out a lot of language. Some people are just gonna be like, yeah, I don't know, right? A lot of people come from, when I talk to business owners and you're like, hey, yeah, so you need a subprime, prime, and a lease to own. They're looking at me like, I don't even know what that means.
Correct.
So a lot of them are like, financing, cool. Let's do financing. So where do you find most of your success? Is it Now, when we say subprime, what is subprime to you, a subprime lender?
Well, the thing about it is, but and I'm going to answer your question, Jason, but I want to give a little bit of more color before I go into that. When I was telling you when I first came to Around the Clock that the prime lenders would buy down into like 650 or so.
Yeah.
But what's happening now with prime rate at 8.5 and the lenders, you know, statistically, first payment defaults are going up, overall defaults are going up, credit card balances are going up, checking account balances are going down. It's kind of the state of our union, which is a little bit of a surprise because our unemployment's relatively low, but statistically that's what's happening. And a lot of these lenders, if they're not a bank like a Synchrony or a Wells Fargo, they borrow money. And so they borrow money at a rate, they lend it out at a rate, they make the spread.
Yep.
So where the prime lenders used to buy down to 650, as things get tighter and tighter, that prime, as I call super prime, they stop about 700. You know, then you've got like what I call the 1.5 or the prime. You got super prime that buys down to about 7. You've got prime that'll go down into the 660-ish range. Then you've got what I call second look, which is you've got super prime, prime, near prime, which maybe is the 650 to like maybe the 600. Then you got the subprime below 600 that would go down into potentially as low as 550. And then usually from 550 down to 300 is going to be a lease-to-own transaction or potentially what I call a direct-to-consumer pay. There are some lenders out there that actually fund direct to the consumer, but most contractors don't like that. But
yeah. When you're looking at this, because I know a lot of business owners, they're going to ask, okay, listen, you know, we go out there, we had a financing company, but we got rejected.
Correct.
You know, we are half of our customer base is being rejected. So that's not working for us. So what they're typically, here's the question I get asked all the time when I go in and they say, hey, so, and I'm like, hey, you're offering finance. I do, but it doesn't work. Right. Cause the guys, they'll offer it and then they get rejected. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, forget it. I'm not going to offer it anymore. And what they don't understand is this difference that you're talking about.
Correct.
A prime lender, like you're dealing with like some people grab their local bank. Some people will go with, you know, and I'm not gonna throw names out there, but some of these prime lending institutions that are out there, and they don't have the option to saying, hey, and I want to ask you this, Tom, when you're seeing these come across your desk, the average American right now is operating most likely in a subprime range, right? Sure. And it's just because, like you're saying, you laid the foundation with everything you just said. Deficits are high, savings is low, people's credit card debt is high. So everybody's charging everything right now without the money to be able to, even the country, right? So without the money to be able to cover the bill. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? This is lowering people's FICOs or their credit scores. And then, so Tom, if you want to speak to, if you can, what are you seeing on average come across your deck at your desk as far as credit scores on average? And then what would you suggest to them would be the best finance company to go after at point if they're struggling?
Statistically speaking, 43% of the U.S. population has less than stellar credit. So that would put them in what I would call a near prime and below category. Mm-hmm. So again, without trying to be a commercial for IHCS, but
that's all right. This is the episode to do it on, Tom.
Exactly.
Over there.
Yeah.
Great. Well, at IHCS Finance, we're
saying he walks out back and starts grabbing all. So, hold on a second, I got it now.
Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
Go ahead, bud.
Biggest things that I say, and I've got my sign here, that people buy payments, and that's really true. So in other words, you go to the car lot and they say, how much is that car, or how much could you afford a month? And he says, $300 a month. And the salesman says, if I can get you in that car for $300 a month, will you buy it? He didn't say 48 months, 60 months, 72 months, 84 months. He just said $300 a month. So people do buy payments, and especially on unexpected purchase, everybody's cash, you know, especially as you go down in the economic status and the lower FICO scores, people are trying to manage their monthly cash flow, sometimes weekly cash flow in the case of a lease to own. So what we do at IHCS is we have a IDAP, instant decision application process, which is a true waterfall. Waterfall being you put one application in the top, and it goes and it pulls a soft credit pull with the consumer's consent. And then it says, okay, let's see where their credit score is. They're a 652. Okay, well, prime says no. This prime says no. This 1.5 says no. this second look option says yes. So the customer doesn't see the no and the no, because we're talking about the customer experience. Yes. All he cares about is he got a yes. Now, yeah. We go from there, we go into, monthly pay factors as far as, you know, what the monthly payment is, right? So typically, most all installment and revolving sales contract are what they call a no prepayment penalty. So what we try to do is we offer our customer the longest amount of term we possibly can that has that rate, monthly payment as low as possible. Excuse me, makes that monthly payment low as possible. And it's like, okay, well, your term is 120 months, which is 10 years. It's like, oh dear Lord, I don't want to pay on this thing for 10 years. It's like, sir, you don't have to, because I've got a 120 month term, the payment's $121.14. If I make that term 84 months, it now goes to $142.14 a month. And if I go to 60 months, you know, the payment keeps going up. With a no prepayment penalty, the minimum payment is $121 a month. You can pay them $150. You can pay them $160. This month, you can send them $300. The quicker you get that paid off, the less, as soon as you pay that off, the interest stops.
Yeah.
So the term length is more about what the monthly payment is and what fits into someone's budget, because maybe they think they can afford $170 a month, but a life event comes by and maybe that causes a hiccup. So rather than being late, we reach for the lower.
Let's touch on real quick. Let's touch on, because you're going to have an actual story for this. And I actually just referred a company over to you guys here 2 days ago that is now in the exact situation that Air on the Clock was in when you joined on. Literally the same lenders. So I had a conversation with a company interested in marketing service. We got on a Zoom call. It's me, the marketing manager, the sales guy, comfort advisor, and the owner of the company. Right. We walked through all the marketing stuff and how they're having issues and blah, 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 blah. We got the financing and I was curious. I was like, they are in an area of the country. You hear that area and you're thinking no teeth in trailer parks. Okay. I'm just going to tell you that right there.
Yeah. That's
now, it. Now I hear, I'm like, who you finance through? And just out of curiosity, like we're all there. That's the way that my calls go. It's very easygoing. I just want to learn about your business. He goes, yeah. He goes, we're using Synchrony and Wells Fargo. Brother.
Those are prime lenders.
and the sales guy in the back, Brian, is like, he goes, yeah, he goes, you know, that sucks. He goes, a lot of guys don't get approved. And I'm like, I've got Tom in my mind just because we've known each other so long. Now I hear him. I'm like, yeah, that's embarrassing for the customer. I'm like, you need another option. Right. Exactly. So let's talk about how detrimental it can be to the company. And Tom, you have a live example of when you came in to Air on the Clock, implemented these other things, and how much money they were leaving on the table that you were able to then pick up.
Well,
and this company that I'm referring to is not as big as Air on the Clock, but it's damn close.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest things is that, and that's what happens if you look at the sales cycle. In other words, they contract with you, Colton, to run leads. So there's a lead generation. There's a customer acquisition price cost. Yep,
absolutely.
So then they're going out to Jane Doe's house. They roll the truck out there. They've got payroll for that gentleman sitting at the kitchen table. Everybody thinks they can get their AC fixed for $300 or $400. Yeah. The guy goes out to the house and says, Mr. Jones, your system's 17 years old. Your coils are shot. Your compressor is shot. You need a new system. Oh, really? How much is that? $12,000. $12,000. I don't have $12,000. Well, you know what? We offer financing. And so, you know, and then you ask the customer, like, well, how's your credit? And I love it when somebody comes back and goes, pretty good. Pretty good. You know, at that point, you know that it's not great. One of the things that we institute is much like a car lot. When you go into, when the car salesman shows you the car, you go into the finance department. Well, for example, at Air Around the Clock and many of our other dealers that we have, they send us a job. Jane Doe, here's the address. Here's the phone number. Here's the telephone. They need a 3-ton ream hurricane pad line set and thermostat for $12,000. We call that customer and we say, hi, Jane, my name's Tom from Bubba's AC finance department. And we're here. What I'd like to do is pull a soft credit pull with your consent. Please indicate by saying your full name and saying yes, because we record all of our calls for compliancy.
Yeah.
And so then now we pull a soft credit pull on it. So now we'll see where she's at, as opposed to taking her and running her from a prime and it's no. Running her from a second look and it's a no. And because that comes back to the customer experience, because they get embarrassed. It's like,
correct.
No again. So what we do at that point, it does it automatically on our IDAP service, but we also have a concierge service that we literally are talking to the customer on the phone. And so at that point we go, okay, we see where you're at, Mr. Jones. You're a 672. That gives us some options. I believe the best place would be to apply is X, and you'd be looking approximately X amount of dollars a month for so many months.
Yeah.
If you like, we can take that application from you now. We put the application in.
For the guys, and without you having to go too far into it, like for guys listening, right, that are, you know, growing their business, they have financing options. Let's just imagine this. And I think, I know Tom can put a dollar amount on it. Tom just told you guys 5 minutes ago that 43% of the U.S. is subprime, right? Or I think that was the stat, whatever is
cool. Yeah, right.
Imagine how much money you are leaving on the table, right? Not considering the companies who have been around for 20 years are like, I don't need it. If they can't write a check, I don't want to work with them. You're an idiot. Okay, that's fine. Go out of business. That's fine. whatever, right?
I've heard that.
Might be a little harsh, but still, right? So, and then even if you do, if you're only operating, and I'm not saying we're not here to rip on, you know, prime lenders. That's, you know, we're not here to do that, right? But but imagine the amount of money that you're leaving on the table for your business if you're not having these things in place.
You got to know your audience though, right? Yeah. Your customer base. Like you said, that big company that's sitting in an area that is very heavily populated, but yeah. it's just not the average. We always look in marketing. Number one thing we look at is average income, right? I mean, that's
one of the things that I do an awful lot of sales training, obviously, and I tell service sales technicians and what have you, just because you roll up to a nice house, it's got two nice cars, the grass is cut pretty. Yep. Don't assume that they're an 800 FICO score.
Oh, no, they're usually the ones that are a little bit lower, right? Because everything's on credit.
at that point, the biggest, you know, you're talking about the customer experience, and you're there to provide a service, right? Mm-hmm. And that service is they need cold air, they need warm air, or they need both, whatever the case may be is. And so you want to be able to, you've gone through the expense for the customer acquisition, you've already rolled the truck out there, you're sitting there in front of the table,
yeah.
And why not be able to not just service just those down to say 650 or 700 FICO scores, you need to have finance options. And one of the things that IHS does is I relate myself a lot to a payroll company. Most mid to lower size companies use a payroll service because they're the experts at running payroll for the employees. Mm-hmm. And so they're our contractors are the experts in installing, replacing, fixing, whatever on the HVAC, but not necessarily experts in the finance department. That's where we act like a back office finance department. And we want to get all your customers approved, at least give all your customers an option. Yeah. Some of the customers we get them approved and give them a monthly payment. And they say, hey, that's more than my IKEA payment and my mobile home payment put together. I can't afford that. So,
right.
But at the same time, I never underestimate the power for a credit challenged customer to find money when they absolutely have.
Yeah, 100%. Let me ask you this, man. So kind of just to recap real quick. So 43% sitting about a subprime position, being in the trades, that's probably across the board. Like I said, you know, you're down in Florida. I've seen it in Florida. Yeah. I've seen it in the Midwest. I've seen it in the Northeast, and I've seen it right here in South Carolina. So I think nationally, that's a pretty good average to say subprime. So that's good. So second thing is number one, understand your customer base and know what type of lender you need to be pushing. If you are working with a prime lender, it's not the crap, like I said, on prime lenders, but you got to understand where's the average that you need to be kind of ballparking, right? For a lender. To your point, second thing is have a waterfall program in place to where you can now service all of them within your area. So you ain't got to pick and choose, but it's still definitely really good to understand what your customer base is. So let me ask this. Number three is statistically that everybody sees on CNBC nowadays is, hey, listen, 70%, it was 60%, it's now up to 70%. Currently right now, because obviously our daily living expenses per year has gone up by $10,000, which is have the same exact life we had last year, or sorry, 4 years ago, and now it costs us $10,000 more today to have that same exact lifestyle. In doing so, we are now at 70% of an average American can't handle an unexpected expense over $400, right? It's just been something that's been reiterated over and over again in the media. For somebody in a financial position, because this is one thing that we do a lot with our companies, is We make sure that our service guys are now hyper-focusing on service, right? I mean, on financing. Financing was always kind of left for the bigger ticket ones, right? Hey, yeah, anything, you know, 8,000 and up, you know, start running. Where do you hold the threshold on what's the smallest ticket that you guys will push through where you're at?
$250.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So now you got 43% of people running subprime. You got over 70% running at can't afford over $400 in special expense. But also, too, on the other hand, you got just the nation in itself saying, hey, man, we're charging everything. Right? You know, everybody's credit card debt has gone up and risen because everybody is charging everything. That kind of ties into that 70%. But now you can train your service guys to start pushing financing on a $1,000 ticket, an $800 ticket. Now, a lot of this comes back to the merchant fee, right? That can be a topic you can get into, Tom. But, you know, obviously if you're pushing $1,000 or $250 ticket and you're paying 20% on a merchant fee, that's not going to make too much sense for you as a company. Correct. So you got to understand the metrics. But, you know, we cap ours at $750. And we know our programs don't go any higher than, I think our highest is 10% on a merchant fee on our plans that we push out. So our service guys know to offer financing every single time while they're sitting there talking to a customer. But I like what you said, Tom, when it comes to your company, because a lot of technicians are not finance savvy and they don't like to jump into apps and have to fill it all out, even though it's a credit card app and we all should know how to do it. Did you say that they can call into you guys and you guys will do, number one, this is a really big point, is soft pull. That's a huge thing to push to a customer. It's not going to hit your credit. It's not going to be hard inquiry. It's a soft pull at first. Definitely got to understand the difference when you're talking to a customer to relay that to them. Second thing is, are you saying that you'll take the phone call and talk with the customer and manage it from there?
We at IHCS, we have two programs. And we have one program we call our white glove concierge service, where literally a technician can be sitting at the table with Jane Doe. She needs financing. And he's already ran her on, let's say that contractor already has a prime, like the example you gave Colton, and they get a denial. At that point, he literally can call me on the phone, call my dealer support center. Not always me, obviously. They call our dealer support center. They say, hi, I'm Jim Smith from Bubba's AC Finance Department. I'm here with Jane Doe. She needs 12 grand and she's just been denied by our prime lender. Great. Get on the phone with her. We say, hi, Jane. My name is Jim or Betty or Sue, Elvis, whoever we have in our call dealer support center at the time. We're here with Bubba's. We are Bubba's AC back office finance department. We're here to help you. We ask them for their consent. We'll literally take the application over the phone, do the whole thing. And then we text the contractor back and say that Jane Doe's approved for the 12 grand. We actually have unique text numbers for each of our larger dealers where they can text us in that information. Yeah. We know that that's coming from a certain dealer. We'll reach out to the customer. We also have our tablet version, which we call our instant decision application process. We have some more available lenders on our concierge side than we do our IDAP side. So,
okay. What's the turn time on something like that from submittal to approval?
Yeah.
Can they do it right at the table right there and just wait 15 minutes?
A lot of times we can get an approval in under 5 minutes. We take the application, we put it in, and it's an instant decision. Other times, as you go down in the score, it takes a little bit longer. It's a little more complicated. Sometimes there's stipulations involved. I may need a selling cars, brother.
Same thing. Same thing, man.
But we're doing all that work because we're the experts in the finance world. I couldn't fix an AC for $1 million, but that's not my job.
Yeah.
So we had an error around the clock when I first got there. We tracked a $2 million lift in subprime customers that I got approved that they would have had to walk away from.
Yep.
Exactly. Actually, it was probably higher than that, but that's where we tracked it to as far as I can identify all those. But at the end of the day, you look at all the expense it takes to customer acquisition and then rolling the truck and then payroll dollars. You need to close as many possible customers as you can. The fact is, the ones that are credit challenged or that you find them, I had a gentleman that I signed on in Ohio. He said that he would go out on calls where two or three HVAC companies have gone out to the house and gave him a proposal and couldn't get the customer financed. So he's he's now like the fourth guy coming in there, and he gets some finance, and they're so appreciative. They go, oh my God, I can't thank you so much. I really appreciate it. My wife was upset. My kids are crying. It's freezing cold in here, or it's burning up in there. We're depending on geographical locations.
Now, this goes across. Now, you don't just do, just to be clear, though, because I know this is a question a lot of business owners. You don't just do HVAC, do you? You can do, is that, because I know.
HVAC, plumbing, windows, doors, roofing, generators, water, filtration, insulation, solar, about anything where there's a consumer finance.
Like a home, any type of home improvement type.
Home improvement, right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's because that's huge. I mean, I can tell you right now in, you know, one of my clients is plumbing and HVAC, and the plumbing guys, man, they're running $5,000 to $30,000 bath remodels. Right. So, you know, those are big ticket items and are, you know, right now plumbing technicians typically run a higher average ticket than HVAC technicians.
I tell a dealer that, you know, that we get on the phone, I have a director of sales and marketing, but I get on a lot of calls myself as well. But I'll tell them that if you will listen to me, I can, should be able to get you a 15 to 20% lift in your top line sales in the first year.
Yeah, exactly.
And because we're going to close more customers, they've already done all the work. They're already at the house. So instead of walking away, they use somebody like me that's the expert in the finance world. We're the turn down, turnaround experts, as we call ourselves.
Nice. There you go.
Because most HVAC companies, as you know, guys, of any size, going to have a prime. But oftentimes they don't have that second look in that third tertiary type scenario. And they're just walking away from business. I mean, it's really easy.
Yeah.
Now, let works easy for me because that's what I do. But in other words, it's easy for a dealer to engage with us, and you know, you can, as an HVAC owner, you can go get multiple lenders and, you know, keeping up with rate sheets and all the different things. Yes, this is a little plug for me, but in other words, we're going to manage all that for you for so low of a fee that it's less than a credit card fee of what we charge to our dealers. But we're going to get those customers approved. And you talk about one point that I wanted to make about repairs that you brought up, Jason. You know, back during COVID, cars were very hard to get, right? Because or whatever, things like that. So everybody started fixing where they would normally sell or trade in their 4 or 5 year old car and get a new one. They're like, you know, because they're hard to get, they're fixing them. Well, what's happening is, as you know, in the HVAC, SEER2 came in. You know, the prices that have gone up so dramatically in the last 3 years of what our average ticket was at Air Around the Clock 3 years ago. And today, probably 25, close to 30% higher at the minimum. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is we come to a gentleman's house and he needs to do a coal replacement, and it's under warranty, but it's going to be, you know, but the jobs, you know, by the time you do a pull and replace and the whole thing, you know, it's a couple of grand. Well, he doesn't have a couple of grand. No. So we literally finance a job as low as $250. Obviously, it's a lot of work for a $250 job. But at the end of the day, you know, people are doing more fixing sometimes, especially depending on your economic situation and what have you. So we're able to do repairs and down to a pretty low score.
Let's look at it from this angle. Let's say that somebody's listening to this, okay, and you got them, they understand now, they have a little bit better understanding. God, I got, you know, I have Synchrony or Wells or whatever. I should get another one. Okay. They're sold. Okay. Because it's gonna be good for them. Now, obviously it'd be fantastic. They go in your direction, right? With IHCS, right? Awesome. Great. Fantastic. Let's talk about, even if they don't, if you're advising people what to look out for.
Yeah.
Because when I talk to different,
like, merchant fees, like, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that angle in terms of, like, there's a lot of companies out there that I know charge upfront fees, they charge annual fees, they fund to the consumer, they do a bunch of crap that nobody really wants.
Right? 20% merchant fees.
Exactly. Let's
talk on about every deal.
Tell people about what they should look out for if they're not going to go with you, which they should, right? But if they're not, if they're looking actively, what should they watch out for?
Yeah.
Well, there's lenders out there that'll have a lender fee, and then they'll also have a risk fee. So in other words, if you're not careful, all of a sudden I've got, I know of lenders that could be as high as 30% lender fee. So on a $10,000 job, that's $3,000.
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared for that into your margins, you know, no. Sometimes there's not much left after the 30% lender fee. So our mission is to get the best possible finance offer to the customer at the lowest lender fee for the dealer. So we're always watching the dealer's back. And we get a threshold of what acceptable of like, okay, our fee, you know, the most lender fee that they are able to, they can compensate for is a 10% lender fee. Anything over the above, we get an okay. But the biggest thing is that there's the lending space is so fluid right now because these FICO floors, I say they're raising their floor up. So Wells Fargo would used to buy down to 630. All they're going up to like stopping at 680, 690, almost 700. Yeah. And so now the second look guys that used to be 650 to 550, they're hunkering up right up against them. So now they've moved their floor up, and then which leaves a more of a hole in the direct to consumer pay and the lease to own spot. But again, lease to own provides a service for a customer that can't get financing from someplace else.
Yeah.
The direct to consumer pay is a slippery slope is the way I look at it from the standpoint. What happens is that there's a link and there's usually a marketplace where the customers put their information, you know, a link gets sent a link and the customer puts their customer's information in, and then a marketplace comes up and they get multiple offers. And a lot of times there's a origination fee. So they may get approved for $10,000, but there may be a 10 or 15% origination fee. So that means instead of the $10,000 clean, they get funded 9,000 or 800. And so they're still short $1,500 and they don't have it. So they're coming back to the contractor and they're beating on them going, hey man, I only got $8,500 on you. Can you do it any better? But also those direct to consumer pays, the customer at some point, let's say he gets his $10,000. It's like, well, wow, Jason's AC gave me a price of 10 grand, but I think I'm going to reach out to this Colton AC and they may be able to do it for $1,000 less. And I go to the Bahamas for the weekend.
Right. So let me ask you this on that front. What do you think a good, you know, for a business owner, what should they be looking for? Lender fee / merchant fee. And obviously finance companies are going to call them something different, but the fee that's going to be charged to the company itself per transaction. What do you think is a good average that they should be staying around that's fair?
Well, ideally, if you can do it for 10% or less, that would be the ideal scenario. But in other words, what happens is, and we do a lot of training with our dealers, is that, you know, down in South Florida, it's a rodeo for HVAC pricing. If you've got a pickup truck and a can of Freon, you're in the HVAC business. Yeah. And so what happens is that these sales techs go in there, and I call it proverbial dropping their pants. In other words, okay, you need a 3-ton straight cool, 10 kW heat, you know, on a pad, a thermostat, da 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 da. You know, okay, $7,200. It's like, okay, well, you know what? I need financing. Like, okay, well, how's your credit? Oh, and my credit's really bad. Like, uh-oh. So we do a lot to train with customers is say, look, the prices on that unit is $8,500. How are you going to pay for that, Mr. Jones? Well, I'm going to write you a check. You know what? I'm going to give you a 10% discount. But if they go, we want financing, because sometimes, you know, usually the higher FICO score and the better economic condition the guy's in, because Rooms to Go all over town and Ashley Furniture Home Store, 24, you know, 60 months, no interest. So he's like, hey, I want some no interest. The guy that could write you a check for it, he's wanting the no interest. So that 12-month no interest, no payments, it converts to 9.99, may cost you 10% for a prime guy. 24 months, same as cash, or 36 months, same as cash. They all have lender fees in there. So you have to make sure when you're going out in your marketing, and I'm sure, you know, Jason, you talk a lot about this to the company you work with, is that what is your finance offer? What's that cost you as from lender fees to offer that? And do you have the margins built in and to cover that extra expense?
Exactly. And that's the main thing that a lot of companies, so when you're talking to them and you're saying, hey, on average right now, if you're working in a subprime market, I mean, you're going to have a waterfall program, but what should a lot of them be building in on average into their pricing to
offset that? There's finance. Two ways to do it. You could feather it in, or you could do that whole, I'm going to give everybody a price at 10% higher. Now the fear, especially down in South Florida, is you give them a price and they go, let me think about it. And then, and you know, but before you got to that point, like, well, how are you going to pay for it? I'm not sure. Or I need to talk to my wife, or, you know, when they say I need to talk to my wife or I need to talk to my husband, that's a delayed tactic. You didn't give them something they could say yes to.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah.
So at that point,
explain this to me, Tom. I don't want to cut you off here, but this is something that I actually don't understand. So what fluctuates the dealer fee? You said ideally under 10%. What changes that? Is it just the lower the credit score, the higher the like, what changes that?
It's a great question. In other words, if you're talking about in the higher FICO score, typically those higher FICO scores customers were wanting some kind of no interest, no payments, or same as cash, or those like an 18-month no interest, or 18-month same as cash, which means you have to, whatever the price is, $10,000 or whatever, have all that money back in the door within 18 months. That could be a 10% lender fee for right. that special promotion type situation.
Okay.
You know, no interest, no payments for, you know, no interest, no sense. Payments for 6 months, and then a low APR.
So essentially, to make it simple for people, the sexier the finance deal, the higher the dealer fee.
Yeah. The plan is really going to change it.
Yeah.
That's okay. The top half. Yep. Okay. So then you've got, those are what I call promotional financing, you know, lender fees.
Yeah.
And then you get below that, it starts getting into the risk fee. Okay. So in other words, as you drop below about a, now seems like a below a 650,
yeah.
The lower you go in the FICO score, the more that risk fee is, because what they have, most states have a cap on APR, what they can charge.
Yep.
On a contract, on a installment sales contract. So if they can only get 16.99% and they're dealing with a customer they feel is more risky than what that APR will outrun, that's when the lender fees come in. So there may be a 10, 15% lender fee.
Yep.
Because on that customer, what they, and FICO score is only one component. There's much more of things that go in the algorithm of, are you a 650 going up? Are you a 650 going down? What is your debt to income ratio, meaning amount of money that you make a month and then how many bills that you've got? What type of charge-off history have you had in the past? Do you have medical in the background? You know, all these things they bake in. Like at my other company, I had a data scientist that built an algorithm that looked at all these different data points to determine what was the best chance that we were going to get paid back by this customer. So when you talk about risk, the banks are more risk averse because they're actually experiencing more risk now than they were certainly 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So now everybody's tightening up the cost of capital. We're hoping that the prime rate will come down, because if you're not a bank and where you have deposits that you're getting your capital from, then you're borrowing capital and then you're trying to make a spread on the difference of what you pay for what you loan out. And that delinquency has a huge impact on what your ROI is going to be. Return on investment.
No, absolutely. Okay. Okay. So Jace, I'm going to ask for your assistance with this too.
Yeah.
So for business owners listening, right? Big main points here that we can take away. Tom probably gave you more things than you know what to even do with. Right. And so, biggest points, obviously, the topic of this today's episode is the business case for offering these financing and lease to own options. Number one, you're losing money, right? Hell of a lot of money to be made, make more money, do better, right? Build a bigger business, go on vacation. Okay, great. Simple. On top of that, any other big points that just huge takeaways that you would say, I mean, better, maybe a better customer experience, you know, any other thing, right? Once again, the topic was the use case having these things in place. Any other thing that you'd round this out with?
Yeah, just overall, you got to know the environment you're in. Yep. And the environment we're in right now is people are financially strapped. And if you do not have this as an option, you're pretty much just not even playing the same game that everybody else is in, right? You're not even, you know, you're not even in the same ballpark. It's a necessity. It's not an option anymore. And that's one of the biggest things business owners are missing, because they came up through the days where finance wasn't a thing for the trades. Financing right now is a requirement and needs to be part of, just like having a CRM, right? You know, you can't do things by pen and paper no more. I mean, you can, but you're gonna be lost. So the big takeaways that a company needs to understand is you gotta have financing, you gotta have the training in place for it. for your technicians to know how important it is, right? And like I said, it's not an option, it's a requirement. And that's how I tell my team all the time. Yep. This isn't something that you're just providing as a second option. It's something that you need to push on every job above X. And then the third thing is you got to be teamed up with a company that really knows your business and believes in your business. If you're trying to go, I don't want to say a big conglomerate, but if you're trying to go with your big BOAs or your Wells Fargo's and things like that, you're just a number. Go with either a local community bank that you know that's a credit or that's a credit union within your area, or go with a company like Tom's that specializes in that.
Yep.
For you. But all in all, at the end of the day, finance, I don't care if you're a one-man show or you're a $500 million company, you have to have financing as part of your deal.
So. Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Tom, anything else from you as we wrap this up? People buy payments. I love it.
That's it. And that's true. I mean, hey, big thing is yeah, get a technician to ask.
It yeah. really says it all from a standpoint of like you're providing a service, an HVAC system that incorporate, or you're providing a product, an HVAC system that incorporates a product. In other words, I need the HVAC or I need the plumbing job or I need whatever it is, but you got to help me afford it. And you have to give me options that I can say yes to.
Yeah.
So absolutely. One of the nice things is absolutely. That we have lender options from 800 to excuse me, 850 to 300. Yep. In other words, it all comes down to the affordability of the payment. People buy payments. I'm sorry to keep saying that. Sign, but it's true.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. So as prices go up, bank accounts go down. You got to have options. I was talking to a guy the other day who used to run car lots, and somebody just hired him to help scale his HVAC business. And we were talking about it. And he goes, this is almost exactly like a car lot. And I said, yes, it is. So, go back, rewatch this. There's a lot of stuff here, right? This wasn't the most thrilling topic, right, guys? But you know, business has those aspects. Right? Tom's like, Tom, what do you mean? This is the best thing we've talked about yet.
I'm pumped. Right?
But you got to know these things, right? And you got to understand where you're at, and you got to get good partners, like Tom said. So, or like Jason said. So this will wrap up the 11th episode, guys. We'll see you on the next one. I think next one we're going to chat a little bit maybe about marketing, a little bit more myself.
Yeah, absolutely. It's huge. That's a big thing right now.
Absolutely. See you guys.
See ya.